Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocked Tales, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion, because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the worship and Dionysus man, sipping on some science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here having a good time. We hope you're here to have a good time, too. Stay tuned until the end of the show, everybody. We're going to be talking about three foods that will absolutely wreck your car engine. And as always, I am joined by some fascinating guests in the lounge today. We got Ron, the geologist apologist. How are you doing today, Ron?
I am doing amazing.
Fantastic. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. We are joined by Jamie Lynn, a druidess who's just so damn good at this. Jamie Lynn, how are you doing today, my love?
I am doing fantastic. Kicking it with you fine, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And we are also blessed by the presence of the none other than the professor, a brilliant mind and a snappy dresser. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, doing great. Thank you.
Fantastic. Oh, I'm so glad you guys all showed up in the shop. I'm so glad everybody showed up in the lounge today. Thank you so much. We got a fun and informative episode brought to you by House Targaryen. Come for the dragons, stay for the incest. We're going to take a quick look at the 1972 Watergate hotel break-in. That's some fun stuff. We've got hot science news with fruit flies and the genetics of sleep and diamonds on the planet Mercury. We're going to talk about some bullshit and snake oil involving surgery to fake injuries. Before we play a rousing rendition of fact-checking time, we're going to be discussing, always something sexy. We got pornography, we got virginity, and even members of Congress. That's going to be a good game. And of course, we're going to wrap things up with a feel-good story about a new way to fight childhood obesity. We do encourage everyone, reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com. That's halfcocked. TALES@gmail.com. Or maybe you want to text us a message or give us a voicemail. If you're really old, I hear that's something only old people do. 443-499-8253. Or you can just drop a comment over on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Threads. We're on all the good places. All right. Let's move on. Let's hop in that time machine.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yesteryear in our time machine.
All right. Welcome to the time machine, where we don't just talk about history. We relive it, trying to learn lessons from the past to apply to the here and now, because history doesn't always repeat, but we know it usually rhymes. Now, buckle up and set your dials as we journey through the ages, exploring stories, people, and events that shaped our world. I'm Dan, the Worshipin' Dionysus man, sipping on some science today, and I'm joined by some amazing guests, Ron, Jamie Lynn, and the professor. Is everybody ready to fire up the engine and head back to 1972 and the Watergate break-in?
Let's do it.
Cheers.
Let's go.
Okay, everybody get back into the time machine. We have to go back to a better time when presidents weren't committing crimes, right? The good old days. So Watergate was, as if you're not aware, break-in refers to the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. And it was a very famous break-in by a group of people who were employed all the way at the top by the then president at the time, Richard Nixon. And they were breaking into the offices of the Democratic National Committee, the Democrats, their political rivals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is there's a lot we could talk about here. There's a lot we could talk about here, but I want to start with the actual kind of a timeline of the night of June 17th, 1972. Well, I say that. Apologies. This wasn't the first time they broke in to the office, by the way, when they got arrested, when they got caught on June 17th.
Repeat offenders, eh?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they broke in and they bugged the phones, right? They actually opened up the telephone and installed a physical device. So if you're using cell phones, it's, you know,
they put an app on that logged all the stuff, right? In 1972, they actually physically had to open it and install an electronic device, which they did not do properly.
Lovely.
So they had to break in again.
They couldn't even do that right.
They had to break in again to do it again, to fix it.
Wow.
Masterminded by three key figures that we know of. G. Gordon Liddy, who is a conservative radio host today. He did spend time in prison for this. He was known as the mastermind of the break-in. He's a former FBI agent, and he was general counsel for the Committee to Reelect the President. And you can't make this shit up. The acronym is CREEP, CREEP.
Maybe it meant something different then.
And still, he is a conservative hero to this day.
To this day, sadly. But, you know, I mean, they got a thing for criminals. I'm just saying. All right. Also involved a guy named E. Howard Hunt. And he's part of my favorite conspiracy about all of this. And we'll certainly dive into that a little bit later. He is a former CIA officer, and he was a member of what was known as the White House Plumbers, a team of people like G. Gordon Liddy. They cleaned up the messes. They did the dirty work, right? And then another CIA officer named James W. McCord Jr. Was involved. So they hired four Cuban Americans.
Oh, Lordy.
Who had been involved in anti-Castro activities for the break-in that night.
Wow.
It was James McCord and four Cuban American immigrants they got that were already active.
Who thought that was a good idea?
You know what? That's got to be like the scapegoat. That's their scapegoat. They didn't go this direction with it because I think it blew up. But I think they were just hoping, like, okay, well, that's my supposition. Like, they were hoping they could pin it on them. But now that I'm thinking about it, it makes way more sense that the racist people are like, we got to commit a crime. Let's hire some brown.
Let's get some Cubans over here. They know how to do it.
I know we can find someone to do some criming.
Right. You know who's good at crime? Immigrants. We'll get immigrants.
This has some resonance, Lordy.
Oh, that's sadly more the most likely Occam's razor.
It really is.
Yeah.
Their name. So they enter the Watergate complex through the basement door. They had previously put tape on the door latch so it wouldn't lock. So they could go in and out without having to pick the lock again.
That old gag.
That old gag, right?
Wow.
And the tape was found by the security guard. He was like, what the hell is this tape doing here? He removes it. And they, well, you know, put it back. We'll get back to that later. It's around 1 a.m. They've retaped the basement door latch. They go up to the sixth floor of the Watergate Hotel where the DNC headquarters are, and they start repairing the listening devices and going through the files looking for information. Mm-hmm. This whole time, they're communicating with E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy, who are in a nearby hotel room, monitoring their progress and providing instructions to them. So the guy, Frank Willis, the security guard, notices the tape again, and he's like, okay,
didn't I
hold
on. Fix this? What the fuck?
Hold on now.
Something's going on here.
This wasn't from some kids this afternoon.
This is not a prank.
I saw an interview, and I don't remember who it was with. It was when I was much younger, but they were explaining, it might have been Frank Willis. He was explaining how most professionals will tape vertically on the door jamb so you don't notice the tape. Mm-hmm. And these guys taped horizontally, so when you walked by the door, there was a piece of tape sticking out.
Awesome.
Maroons.
So it wasn't even hard for Frank Wills to discover this.
Wow.
So he calls the cops, right? And he's like, hey, I think there's a burglary in progress somewhere in the hotel. So the cops show up at 2:30 a.m., an hour and a half later.
Oh, Lordy.
An hour and a half after they retaped the door, I should say. But they've been in the building for an hour and a half when the
what
cops
are they doing?
Get there.
It takes that long to fix your fucked up phones?
They're going through the files.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they go up to the sixth floor and they catch everybody red-handed, and they arrest the five men: James McCord, the former CIA officer; Bernard Barker, Cuban American, former CIA operative; Virgilio Gonzalez, Cuban American locksmith; Eugenio Martinez, Cuban American and CIA asset; and Frank Sturgis, Cuban American and former soldier.
They had a locksmith and they still had to tape the door open.
Yeah, right. Well, they don't want to have to keep picking the lock to go in and out that door, right? They want easy access if they had to take stuff out. Huh. But yes, they had a locksmith.
A locksmith. Here, I got a trick. Might be risky.
You have one job.
So, though the five people, were initially arrested, it did not stop there. Nixon administration quickly denied any involvement. But as we know, Woodward and Bernstein of the Washington Post, they began as journalists. And this is why we need good journalism. This is one of the reasons why good journalism is so necessary to a thriving republic, that information untarnished. I mean, now we've got issues with who owns all of the media and what and how they're pushing that. But at least at this point, the Washington Post was like, okay, we'll stand up. And they did a great job of uncovering all the connections between those burglars all the way to the White House. Now, it turns out they had an anonymous source named as Deep Throat, which we'll talk more about Deep Throat later, I promise. And it is the film you're thinking of.
All right.
He was later revealed to be FBI Associate Director Mark Felt. He started giving him information. So we now know that the FBI wanted this to come out, right? They didn't want this to get buried. Certainly, if you're on Nixon's team Nixon, you're thinking, like, what an evil thing the FBI did. But know that this FBI director was actually ensuring justice, which was his job. He did a wonderful job at that. Thank you, Mark Felt. Thank you, Woodward and Bernstein. Oh. I think Woodward's still doing
Woodward? Yeah.
Stuff today.
Yeah, he's still doing good work out there.
Yeah.
Back to G. Gordon Liddy, who is one of the masterminds here. He's former FBI agent, lawyer, member of CREEP and the White House Plumbers.
CREEP.
He took full responsibility for the break-in, and he refused to implicate anybody.
The fall guy.
The buck stops here, right, with him. But you know what? Later, and then this is when it starts to get fun. He later said the official version of Watergate is as wrong as a Flat Earth Society pamphlet.
A strong word.
And I'm on the conspiracy theory train about what that means, and I want to get through the narrative before we get to suppositions.
Nixon was framed,
right? So he worked, and we know he was working with E. Howard Hunt, the former CIA officer, who was also, I mean, this guy was longtime CIA guy. He all the way back to Bay of Pigs. That could also be why he had the connections to the Cuban Americans, right? The CIA Bay of Pigs invasion that they were pissed off at Kennedy for. Hunt was involved in that. As things came to light with Woodward's and Bernstein, the Senate put together the Watergate Committee to investigate, and they actually had like big televised hearings. It was those hearings involving former White House counsel John Dean testifying about Nixon's direct involvement in the cover up. They eventually, they got him. he was the pivotal flip. And they got it because of very famous, we call smoking gun evidence, right? There was a tape recording system in the Oval Office. Nixon was paranoid as hell. He recorded his conversations, which reminds me of James Comey. Lordy, I hope there's tapes. So you'd all hear what a thug he was. We had one of the heads of the FBI being like, this guy is acting like a mob boss, and they're still, what the, anyway. We had tapes. There was a big legal battle over whether he could even be compelled to release the tapes. And a big, big, big Supreme Court case. They ruled that, yes, Nixon did have to turn over the tapes. And the smoking gun evidence, they had a tape from June 23rd, within the week of the break-in, revealed Nixon talking about a plan to use the CIA to obstruct the FBI investigation into the break-in. And that's the conversation that proved Nixon was part of the cover-up from the beginning.
Damn. So you can't really claim he wasn't involved at that point.
Not a crook.
Not a crook.
Not a crook. Do I look Cuban?
that was good.
This gets me to my absolute favorite conspiracy theory ever of all time, and that is brought to us by Jesse Ventura in one of his books. Brace for it. Should I take that part out? It's more believable if I just say I came up with it, right?
That Jesse Ventura.
So he links a thread from the Bay of Pigs to the Kennedy assassination to Watergate.
Oh geez.
And so Nixon was part of the CIA. He was high up in the CIA, and he oversaw the group, including E. Howard Hunt. He had a group of operatives, and they were the ones who got burned in Bay of Pigs, at the Bay of Pigs. The Bay of Pigs being that famous CIA operation to take down Castro, and at the last minute, Kennedy pulled army support. So instead of CIA operatives and Cuban American soldiers storming the beach with air support, it was just them storming the beach, and they got slaughtered.
Right.
Yeah, failed miserably. Yeah.
Right. Big time. Big time. They got slaughtered. So you had the group of CIA guys who were involved in that were not happy, and they blamed Kennedy.
And I bet not.
Nixon was running against Kennedy on the election. By this time, by the time of the Kennedy assassination, he wasn't overseeing those group of CIA officers any longer.
But he still was friends.
But the theory is that he believed they killed Kennedy. And now, I actually recommend the book American Conspiracies. It's a fun ride, even if you don't believe the threads. One of the very interesting things is he's got a picture of E. Howard Hunt next to a picture of one of the homeless guys on the road in the Grassy Knoll area. And like, it's the same guy. It's like, what is the difference between these two photos? He's got a picture of a guy there in Dallas at the steps of the library that looks just like George Bush Sr., who is a CIA guy.
Oh, HW, yeah.
The original G.H. Bush, right? Bush the first.
Herbert Walker.
And it looks a lot like him. It could be somebody else, but it looks a lot like him. And he famously is like, I can't remember where I was the day Kennedy was shot. I remember what I was doing the day Princess Diana died. Like, those things just kind of get seared into your brain when you hear about him.
Right.
So the idea is that Nixon at the time believes they did it. He doesn't know whether or not they did, but he believes, he has enough reason to believe they're the ones who killed Kennedy.
The CIA guys.
Yes, his old group that he used to run.
Okay.
And he got wind, they got some bad intel that the DNC had evidence linking that group to Kennedy's assassination and to Nixon, and that they were going to leak it to take him down.
Wow. Okay.
And he's saying, Ventura says that it's that that provides the level of pressure for them to stay around so long, searching through the cabinets to go back again and fix the bugs, Nixon was freaking out. And he didn't think that his guys were telling him the truth. Because, I mean, these are the guys he hired to do Watergate, right? Howard Hunt, right. G. Gordon Liddy. Well, Liddy was FBI. He wasn't part of the CIA thing, but Howard Hunt definitely was. And what's his, the other guy, John,
McCord?
Come on, no, go get gadget notes. McCord, yes, James McCord, yeah. Anyway, so they go and Nixon is facing impeachment by the House for all of this because it does come to light he was taking a role from the get go, and it
active.
All came out thanks to those tapes, active role. And he, instead of getting impeached, he resigned. And first president resigning from office, his vice president assumed the presidency and pardoned him.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't do anything wrong, but gets a pardon.
Just in
case. Know, the parallels, history rhyming, like I think of Roger Stone, who I think was actually a young activist at the time.
Quite the Nixon acolyte, yes.
Yeah, he's a Nixon lover.
I mean, he's got the Nixon tattoo and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for Creep. Roger Stone worked for Creep in 1972.
The
committee to reelect the president. Yeah.
One Creep to another.
So
another Creep.
take that
he
mantle.
Would later be pardoned for his crimes by a president, right? Like, there's some rhyming here. It's wild because I don't think in this polarized climate of circled wagons politics, I don't think a party, I don't think the Republican Party, I think the Democrats might. I don't think the Republican Party would ever clearly get behind sinking their guy. Doesn't matter what he did. Doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter justice. This is something.
Go team.
I don't feel like the climate would support that any longer.
No, the climate's become too much us against them, and us, we got to protect us, and it doesn't matter.
Okay, everybody, get back in the time machine. We got to get back to a time when presidents aren't committing crimes and pardoning people for their political crimes.
Got to go way back to the beginning.
We didn't go anywhere. hey, everybody, thanks for joining us on this journey today. We hope you had a good time. Maybe you learned a thing or two. I know I did reading about Watergate, refreshing my memory. I didn't realize today the thing I learned. I didn't realize they broke in a week earlier. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some science news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
Welcome to Half-Cocked Science News, where we talk about recent scientific developments, scams, frauds, deceptions, and we'll end with some feel-good news. We're all about curiosity, integrity, and positivity, and we're thrilled to have you with us today. I'm Dan, the Worshiping Dionysus Man, joined with me is my good friend, Ron, the geologist apologist. How are you doing today, Ron?
Doing quite well, thank you.
All right. And the professor with the brilliant mind, who's also a snappy dresser. How are you doing today, professor?
Doing great.
Well, we also will be joined later by my lovely wife, Jamie Lynn, the druidess, who's just so damn good at this. Today, we're going to be discussing fruit flies and the genetics of sleep. We'll be talking about diamonds on Mercury and a new way to fight childhood obesity. So let's dive in and explore those updates. A new study came out about fruit flies and sleep genetics that had some interesting findings. Apparently, the methods and paths of genetic sleep aren't that different in most species. Excuse me, including between us and fruit flies. We've all got an internal circadian clock, right? Regulates sleep and alertness based on the sun and day night. Excuse me. And fruit flies and humans both sleep more at night and are more active during dawn and dusk. And they call that homeostatic regulation, need-based sleep, right? It balances how much sleep we need versus how much sleep we've had, right? That's homeostatic regulation. And some fruit fly species show a really strong rebound after sleep deprivation, like humans do. If we're deprived of sleep, like we catch up and we rebound. But some of them don't. So they focused in and they hid a little robot to measure the sleep in these flies. So these flies had these little like robot things around them. Like almost in my head, they're little like robots with lab coats and clipboards, like checking their watch, right? And so they were actually able to differentiate between light and deep sleep in these flies.
That's crazy. How are they recognizing that?
Yeah, does a fly enter REM sleep?
Right. Does their brain process that? That's crazy.
Do they dream?
Ooh.
Do they do that little twitch thing before they fall asleep?
Their little wings move when they're dreaming about flying.
So that's funny. So what the robots did was they would blow little puffs of air to wake them up.
Okay.
So how the little puff of air, like if they would like move, like don't touch me. they would be a deeper sleep than if they like get up and like hop back. That's a lighter sleep, right? They did tests to establish the threshold data to make sure they were identifying different sleep stages according to the study. So if they classified light sleep as a higher probability to respond to the air puffs and deep sleep as a lower probability of response. So they found that in some species of flies that there are specific genes that are related to how the fly rebounds from lack of sleep. And if they reduce the activity of those genes, it changes the sleep patterns. Let me back up a second. There's one species of fruit fly that was different than the others, and it did not, like humans, have a good bounce back from lack of sleep, but they were able to change the genetic activity to get the sleep patterns to match the other fruit flies. So they're hoping that they can use this data to look at our sleep quality and duration and start to learn more about human sleep disorders and how they can fix those. Because if they can take a species of fruit fly that can't handle some sleep deprivation and make it able to handle it, I mean, we're on to something, because those systems mimic ours.
That is pretty genius. That's genius. Anytime we can get better sleep, get the circadian rhythm sound. I just think it's funny that we discovered flies. That's crazy.
That they're doing it in flies. Well, insects give us multiple cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like life cycles,
right.
Like from birth to death to birth. You can
many really generations to sample from. Yeah.
Yeah. That genetic mutation would be easier to quantify.
Now that's an interesting thought is something like flies versus dogs, right? I guess we use mice in labs, but I'm like wondering, like, why didn't anybody start breeding mice or rodents or hamsters or gerbils like we did dogs? Like, oh, this gerbil seems smart. I'll separate it and have it breed with this gerbil.
Also, who had the brainiac idea? Like, what triggered you to say, flies?
They make super rodents.
Super rodents. What triggered somebody to think flies, I should study their sleep patterns? I didn't even know they really slept. Like, that's a bizarre thing to come to. I think they needed money for their study.
You are really betraying the fact that you are not a scientist.
Well, maybe just a little bit. I appreciate the science.
Right. Oftentimes, most scientists are doing really boring work to the layman. Like it's numb. Like, you know how much data that these people had to sift through?
Yeah.
Right? How long it took them to set this up?
And did they go into it? I think this is I'd be interested to know if they went into it purposely looking for sleep patterns, or was it just a happy aside that they're like, wait a minute.
Oh, I definitely think it was the purpose of the study. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think it would have been a random thing. I mean, they were designing robots to blow air into flies' faces.
That is so crazy. That sounds like some crazy cartoon.
That's how you get pinky in the brain.
Right?
Right? Why didn't anybody breed a super mouse? That's what I want to know.
Be careful what you ask for. Maybe they did.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Mercury, the planet. What do we know about it?
It's tiny and hot and inhospitable.
Wait.
Yeah, what she said.
Inhospitable to who? I'm sure the carbon life forms living there right now, monitoring our thoughts, disagree. Oh, no, wait. I'm supposed to leave the conspiracies in the back on the time machine.
Check those at the door, sir.
Yes, Mercury, very hot, very inhospitable. It's between Venus and the sun. It's the closest to the sun, right?
Yes. And when it's in retrograde, watch the fuck out.
Oh, when it's... What does that mean? In retrograde means it's traveling away from the Earth or away from the sun?
It would appear that way because we're passing it. So like when you pass the car, right.
It looks like it's going backwards.
Okay. So it's like when you... Like your two cars going opposite directions on a circular track.
Same direction.
So when Mercury's coming towards us, we're fine. But as soon as we pass... So literally they're like waiting until it's 180 degrees on the opposite side of the circle before it's in what, if it's not in retrograde, it's what, grading? I don't know.
Well, it looks like it's moving forward when we're not in the middle of passing it. But when you're passing a car for a second, it looks like it's moving backwards. Mm-hmm. But it's still moving forwards. So when you're in retrograde, it's like when it appears for a second to be moving backwards.
Because we're both going the same direction. Uh-huh. We're not going opposite directions.
Right. We're passing them on the highway.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Okay. Thank you for explaining that, because now I know when to be scared.
Mm-hmm. Amber's going to be so angry she missed this. She's going to listen to us talking about this and go, okay, guys. Seriously.
So back to the scientific paper.
Yeah, science. Sorry.
So there's a whole bunch of carbon on Mercury that likely the remnants of a primordial graphite flotation crust. Talking about plate tectonics last
week.
Ooh. We're getting
my
sexy
next band
there.
Name.
Primordial graphite flotation crust. And these scientists did some thermodynamic models and high pressure temp experiments to reassess the carbon inside Mercury's interior under the crust. Hmm. And they found that if sulfur gets hot enough and dissolves in the molten interior of Mercury, mm-hmm. under the right conditions, it would turn the graphite into diamond.
Wow.
Ooh.
So they're saying there's a possibility that there's a diamond formation in Mercury's magma ocean. They said it's unlikely, but possible. And their models showed in some situations that that would happen. It would crystallize from the cooling molten core during the formation of the solid inner core, forming a diamond layer between the core and the mantle.
Interesting.
Which would be insane.
Fascinating.
Mercury, and it's just like just underneath, you dig a little bit down and like you can't go any further because it's diamond.
Elon's filing the permit right now to strip mine it.
Yes. I was gonna say, start the silver diamond rush all the way, the diamond rush to Mercury,
the space blood diamond.
And that actually makes that makes the most sense for his business model too, because mm-hmm. we can now make them for so little energy, so little money. They're made out of literally carbon.
Right. They're quite common and worthless.
Yeah. But instead, we need to go to space to secure those
to get
minerals
them. Yeah.
For the safety of humanity.
I've actually seen quite a lot of lab-grown diamond hate getting thrown around on Reddit. Like people are saying, like, it's not the engagement ring doesn't count if it's a lab-grown diamond.
Good Lord. Well, that's probably Elon's conspiracy people at work, you know, so that when he makes his diamond rush, you know, he's got real diamonds to give you.
Well, it's no conspiracy that the De Beers family cornered the diamond market and keeps the prices artificially inflated. Like, that's not a conspiracy. We know about that.
It's quite a common resource.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't paying social media influencers. That's what I should start doing for this show. Like, they'll say whatever you want if you pay them.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Like, right. That's their job. Mm-hmm. They're just pitchmen, all of them. And not this one. I got to be bought by things I actually support. Otherwise, you'd all have coupon codes already, damn it.
Also, I'm pretty sure Ben Bova has written a book about Mercury and things to find on it. I don't remember what he found. I don't think it was diamonds, but Bova, he knew we're going to be mining asteroids, planets. He was on it.
Yep. And we'll eventually have to get there. We'll have to start getting our minerals from asteroids and planets.
Possibly our water.
Wait, why do we need to get minerals from asteroids?
Well, eventually we'll run out of available minerals on Earth.
Well, what are we doing with them that makes them go away?
Hoarding them?
We're building things to expand and colonize.
So it seems like there'd be a good scrap industry.
Actually, I think that's kind of what Ben Bova wrote about, was a bunch of just getting raw materials, scrapping off of planet. I don't remember. I know water was a big thing.
Leaving the planet is just very expensive and honestly boring. All the good stuff is here.
Okay, I agree. And I don't think it'll happen in our lifetimes. But at some point, if we're going to explore the stars, we're going to have to start grabbing minerals from other places.
Yeah. Can't take it with you.
And finding exotic minerals we don't even know about yet.
Right.
Like, what was it? An Avatar? Unobtainium.
Unobtainium.
We gotta find unobtainium.
But so, it's not obtainable. It's in the name. I said we have to find it.
So don't tell me what I can't find. All right. Let's move on and talk about some bullshit. This is some real snake oil here.
Yes.
Old snake oil on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
The news story is that there are some Russian mobs and some of that infamous gang MS-13. Basically, there are some criminal elements that they're clearly pointing their finger everywhere they can. We don't know. I don't know who started it, but everybody seems to be jumping in. And they are organizing bogus personal injury lawsuits where they get migrants to get surgery, like unneeded spinal fusion surgery. To bolster their claim of big accident at this business. Yeah, I fell down. I slipped and fell at Walmart, and it busted my back so bad I had to get this.
That's going the full. Oh my god, yeah, that's all in.
In the mix of this, it's not just that one act. They've also got doctors in on it, who the ones that are doing the back and neck fusions. They're getting paid for the insurance companies, and they're overcharging and overbilling for these operations.
Jesus.
So like they're going in knowing that this is like a con dirty grip thing. Like they go in as cheap as they can, just fuse this thing and then do a full insurance filing and charging. So they're making money both ways.
Some pretty evil people.
Yeah. Yeah. So Apparently, these settlements are often almost all over a million when they hit, obviously, when they hit the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So these kinds of scams, they rely on law firms that take on hundreds of these cases. And then those law firms will have their own doctors. So, like, imagine you just have this person come in and say, yeah, I had this injury at this place, and here's all my doctor stuff. And then they go to court, they fight it with their expert doctors who just look at the x-rays and the charts they've been handed. They might see the person, right? But so they're actually getting respectable doctors in court to argue for them.
Wow.
Yeah, a PI hired by the New York Post was quoted as saying they're regularly recruiting migrants and homeless people, and in some cases are proactively arranging for them to come to New York. So in some of these cases, they're like, let's smuggle you in and we'll get you in an injury lawsuit.
We just have to remove one of your testicles, sir, and then we can go to court.
Right, right. And the people who get the surgery and pose as the injured, they get like $1,000. That's their share, like $1,000.
That's it, huh? Damn.
They say that their shares, you know, it's bigger, but it's shriveled on the high interest loans, and they needed to pay for the medical and legal expenses. So, yeah, these they're just hiring migrants and homeless people, paying them $1,000 and pocketing the rest of the million.
That stone cold evil shit there.
And it could be this a supposition by the New York Post is that the Russian mob are running the lending firms that they're bringing the money, and they're working with MS-13 to bring in Hispanic migrants.
Wow.
And round up homeless people.
Yeah. So you got the human trafficking angle. Yeah. Damn.
And they're saying that it's been so successful. At this point, the fake falls are so successful for MS-13 that now rival gangs are noticing. And you know, in the gang world, it's not like people like, oh, you're MS-13 and I'm this gang. There's no way we would talk.
Right.
There's no way we would hang out at a bar and have a drink every now and then. Right. They're all talking.
Word gets out.
It's right. It's a social microcosm, weird one. Not one I would run in, but yeah, they know what's happening. You get people switch sides. You get plants like all. Don't they make a bunch of movies about all this stuff? Anyway,
exactly. We've seen that story.
So, according to gang expert Lou Savelli, the MS-13 people, like, they're not in on white collar crime, but with the help of the Russians who got the lawyers, like they pull it off. Their investigators found...
Right. MS-13's got the bodies. The Russian mob's got the
brains. Right.
Yep.
NYPD found one integrated Russian-led operation with doctors, lawyers, lenders, and physical therapists all in the same office building.
Oh, my God.
That's precious. One stop, man. Wow.
Authorities were unable to build a case against that group.
Sure.
Really?
They had good lawyers.
How weird is that? Yeah, so this is getting like bigger and bigger and bigger. They train them
shit,
how to act, to stage the accidents. Yeah, it's and they're told to get their lawyer before their doctor.
If we want to stop this, I think we need to take down OSHA.
A guy named Rigo Foss, general counsel for Andromeda Advantage Incorporated of Long Island City, we've identified 59 cases as fraudulent
already, and you know that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. And I'll have a link to the New York Post story. And it's got some fun pictures of some of these x-rays and a lot more investigation, which just goes to show that like scamming knows no bounds.
None.
Scamming knows no bounds. And this is horrible because I was injured in an accident. I had to go to court to fight the insurance company. Like it's right. Awful that people are abusing that system.
Right.
That some people have to go through.
Some people
for their legitimate claims.
Yep.
It is pretty crappy.
Right. Ugh. It's always the scammers messing it up for everybody else.
Ugly, ugly, ugly.
You know what time it is? It's fact checking time.
Here we go, what do you know? It's fact checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call fact checking time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fact Checkin' Time, the news show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. We're here in the Half Cocktails Lounge with some amazing guests today. Playing in the hot seat is Professor Brilliant Mind and the Snappy Dresser. How are you doing today, Professor?
Doing great, doing great. Ready to just get my winning streak started.
There you go. Fantastic.
Good luck, sir.
Today, you are playing for Poncho Cat, co-host of the Half Cocktails News Shorts, and whether you win or lose decides if he gets wet or dry food for dinner. So,
I hope we're pulling for you.
I hope
both of you.
I hope you can handle that.
Is the cat betting against me or for me?
He wants you to win.
The cat
definitely wants you to win.
Very much so.
Let's get to the game. We're going to try something a little different today. Not too different, but I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news or on social media, but only one of them was fact-checked by a media outlet. It could be articles. They could be social media posts. They could even be interview quotes, but only some of them are fact-checked. And I'm going to give you a choice, and you've got 30 seconds to ask me questions about them before you have to decide which was fact-checked.
Okay. Got
all
it.
Right. Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. 30 seconds on the clock. Either actress Thora Birch's parents were 1970s porn stars, or an Amazon tribe is now addicted to porn after Starlink hooked them up with internet.
Okay. I have more questions about the Amazon tribe.
Yes.
We all do.
What? That's my question.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So the Amazon tribe got Starlink internet and they're now all addicted to porn.
Okay. And tell me more about this actor. Do I know her from something? Okay. Well.
Yes. I will answer your question. You got
American
it.
American Beauty?
Yeah. Thora Birch, American Beauty. She was in that weird one with Scarlett Johansson. Hold on, let me pull up her IMDb. So Thora Birch, she was in American Beauty, Ghost World. She was a younger Melanie Griffith in a movie Now and Then. She was also the little girl in the original Hocus Pocus.
Oh, okay. And then her parents were allegedly porn stars. And I decide which one of these was fact-checked. I think that they fact-checked the Amazon Tribe one.
That is correct.
Yay, Alex.
That is correct. Yes. Well done, sir. Well done, sir. Where's there we go.
One step closer to wet food.
Well done. Well done.
Yes. The fact checked was the Amazon tribe addicted to porn since Elon Musk's Starlink got set up there. And that did not happen. No. That was the New York Times posting a story
that
turned out to be true.
Not yet.
It turned out to be false. Not yet. Yeah, right.
Elon Musk bringing porn to everyone.
Even if they did have a Starlink internet site, like how is this Amazon tribe getting their tablets and charging them on solar panels? Like what's happening there? Come on. The other fact it's actually true. It was posted by me on Reddit on a Today I Learned, which got deleted. I don't know why I didn't do something right. But I was reading about Deep Throat, the original. I don't even know how I got. I do on these Wikipedia deep dives where I'll get like a random topic and then I'll start clicking the links to see what weird things I can get to and learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun game I play when I'm bored.
On a spiral.
Some Linda Lovelace was like attacking something in some article. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll follow that. And I was like, that's right, Deep Throat. And I was like, Carol Connors played the nurse. Who's that? And Carol Connors, American former pornographic actress, married fellow former porn star Jack Birch, and is the mother of actress Thora Birch. And I went, no shit.
Nice.
Wow. Wow. She stopped starring in adult movies in 1981, and Thora Birch was born in 1982. So there's a chance conception is on camera.
Wow. No,
that's not true.
good old conspiracy. Okay.
Either. Rapper T.I. takes his daughter to the doctor for annual virginity checks. Or JFK took an intern's virginity in the White House bedroom.
Whoa. All right. Okay. So what's the who's where are we hearing about these stories?
The both were on news websites.
News websites, okay. And what's the I don't really know what good clarifying questions I can ask. I'll have to think about this next time.
Oh, I apologize. The TI thing was reported on in the news, but he said it in a podcast in 2019.
Okay, gotcha. What's the response to that? What are people saying? Do you know?
Well, no, people wanted him to apologize. People wanted him to apologize.
Who's this? Is this intern? Where are we hearing that story? Like, how did that come out?
From her memoir.
From her memoir. Okay. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Time is up.
Okay. I think that the TI was fact-checked.
Correct.
Yay.
Poncho, he's already hit 2 out of 3. You get wet food for dinner, buddy.
He wasn't kidding when he said he's winning
streak. So lucky. Lucky boy.
Oh, my God.
Poncho can't be bothered. Yeah. All right. All
he's
right.
Too cool. Too cool for school.
Out of two. Well done. So the fact-checked article was indeed rap artist T.I. You find on Snopes.com on a podcast. He said that he took his daughter to a gynecologist annually to check whether she's still a virgin, which we know is a bullshit method, T.I. Come on. This is 2019. The gynecologist should know better, right?
Yeah.
What gynecologist has taken that money and being like, well, maybe the gynecologist is in on it. And he's just like, yep, still a virgin. Thumbs up, yeah, guy.
That's someone being a bro.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I know. Your dad's insufferable. I'll just tell him you're still a virgin.
Yeah, right.
However, it could easily be equally dark and he's in on it. And he's like, no, I will tell your dad.
Why do you care if you're... child
so creepy is
a, I mean if they're not a teenager,
a healthy human, sure, being.
How old is she?
She was 18 at the time.
Oh
yeah,
fuck.
That's an adult, they say.
Yeah, that is an
that's
adult.
Crazy.
Yeah,
that sounds like abuse there.
He went on to say, this is what we do right after the birthday, we celebrate, and usually like the day after the party. She's enjoying her gifts. I put a sticky note on the door. Gyno, tomorrow, 9:30.
Is he best friends with Mike Johnson and his son?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Johnson.
There is that strange.
Him and Diddy are friends.
Takes his son to the proctologist every year to make sure he's still a virgin.
Okay. Anyway. And yes, JFK.
What a world. What a world.
Did take an intern who was 19 at the time. He took her virginity, and she. This book is coming out. Ask Not the Kennedys and the Women They Destroyed by Maureen Callahan, and it brought to light this woman's story that was published in 2011.
Honestly, this tragedy wouldn't have happened. Unless if her dad was T.I.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God.
At least we would have known about it.
That's
sooner.
A really great point. That's a really great point.
Okay, my third fact check. I'm ready.
Third fact check. This is for bonus points and bragging rights. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You just said you're ready. Okay, here we go. Let me reset the timer. Okay. Either. A Congress member said that the moon is a planet made of gases. Or a member of Congress claimed that the price of gas will go up if you drive an electric car.
Oh, man, that sounds like Congress all around. what congressman and party for each?
Oh, okay. The Texas rep, Sheila Jackson Lee, said the moon is a planet and made up of gases. And she is a Democrat. And Marjorie Taylor Greene of the Republican Party is the one who claimed that the price of EVs, that driving an EV will drive up the cost of gas.
I just don't think we need to fact check the first one. So my guess is.
You're guessing the second one?
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately, no. Rep. Sheila Jackson was fact checked, and she did say that. And later she apologized and said she misspoke. She meant to be talking about the sun.
Oh, the sun,
which
that
still
planet, full
planet
of gas.
Made of gases,
still not a planet.
She's still only half right. But what she said was all wrong. And of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene is getting roasted for saying
is Marjorie Taylor Greene
for being Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Just, I mean, she doesn't.
If you think gas prices are high now, just wait until you're forced to drive an electric vehicle. She shouted into the microphone at a Trump rally in Las Vegas.
Awesome.
Yay. Yeah.
Forced. The liberals are forcing us to buy electric vehicles.
Right? It's not the rising
at gunpoint
cost of gas every year. It's not why I want to get one. No. All right. Well done. 2 out of 3, Pancho. Pancho's already... Oh, he's licking his lips, getting ready for wet food.
He's lined up.
Like, I'm ready.
That's applause. That's all for you, buddy.
That's just what I needed this whole time was a purpose.
He's like, whatever.
All right. Let's talk about some feel-good news.
A goal for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for
Okay, so staying on the theme of sleep, I know we were talking earlier about the fruit flies. A new recent study has linked childhood obesity to sleep, to kids' sleep mechanisms. So childhood obesity, obviously, big global health issue in countries with food. Obviously, it's very strange to live in a world where where we've got childhood obesity, and then like other countries where children are starving.
Yeah, that's a horrible situation.
But the issue of childhood obesity is a real issue, and it turns out it's influenced by genetic predispositions as well as environmental factors like sleep, diet, physical activity, and even socioeconomic status. Sleep itself, as we know, it's critical for life everywhere, even fruit flies. But it's also crucial for a child's health. It affects their physical, mental, and emotional development. The CDC recommends 9 to 12 hours of sleep for school-aged kids.
Wow.
And they're finding insufficient sleep can lead to unhealthy weight gain because it messes with hormones. And it also causes something called DNA methylation, which long-term marijuana use causes as well. I did not know
that. That's where I've heard that term.
Kids not getting enough sleep, it actually, you know, makes part of the gene a little blurry, and it starts to mess with their metabolism and circadian rhythms.
Interesting.
It also messes with the non-coding RNAs go along with the DNA. So what they're finding is that if kids can have healthy sleep habits, that then they can avoid the DNA methylation patterns and something called histone modifications which impacts gene expression and your metabolism, as well as the non-coding RNAs, which regulate sleep and obesity. They're finding that just giving the kid enough sleep is impacting in childhood obesity.
Wow, just sleep.
Wow.
Just sleep.
That's cool.
So that was something I always wondered about when I was in school, because I was even then an early riser, right? Like I would get up before everybody else naturally. But it seemed to me like nobody was trying to stay up all night and sleep all day. That's just when their clocks were running. Like I never made sense that
right.
We still follow this farmer clock as a society. We're all still stuck on like we're working agriculture. Like, oh, right. Gotta get up now. Gotta get to work.
Exactly. My personal clock is, you know, I would love to go to sleep at 2 a.m. and wake up at 10 a.m. the next morning. That's what my clock wants to do. But that doesn't fit in with most jobs.
Nope.
No.
Plus, it's really damaging for kids, because for how many years, I don't know if it's changed now, but we got up at the crack of dawn to get to school, like 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning. And that's some peak sleeping time for kids right there.
What this study that came out is showing is that's actually hurting kids on a genetic level.
Wow.
Well,
yeah. There's a simple fix, kids, but they'll never do it. Now that's a clickbait. Okay, I know the clickbait title for this article. One simple fix to cure childhood obesity that they'll never do.
Will not happen.
But they'll never do it.
Yeah, let's have school start at noon.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet parents would get behind that too. Like
probably.
Yeah. Especially ones that have to go to work at 9.
Yeah. And have you heard how many parents that bitch complain about their kids not being able to get out of bed? They're sleepy. It's hard getting a kid out of bed. I hated it.
That's a strange thing, strange way that we as society are forced to treat sleep. Like you have to be really wealthy to be able to be sleep rich and go to bed on when your body tells you to, wake up when your body tells you to.
Right. And if you do that, you're also branded as lazy,
right?
Yeah.
Yet it's the healthiest thing you could do for your rest, right? And it impacts so much of your health everywhere else. It
really does.
All right. So get enough sleep. Well, that's some feel good news for you, right? sadly, though, we gotta wrap things up.
It's been over.
Great. I'd like to. It's over. All good things.
We were just starting to get underway.
Getting the groove, right?
Just cooking.
Before we go, I'd like to thank House Targaryen, reminding us that you don't have to marry your uncle to get crazy kids, but it certainly doesn't hurt. And I got to apologize today. It looks like we just don't have any time left for the three foods that will absolutely wreck your car engine. We don't know what they are.
So we'll
never know.
Until then, avoid adding foods to your car engine. You don't know which one will wreck it. Like to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and The Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Ron, Jamie Lynn, any final words, thoughts, or goodbyes?
Just be well, everybody.
Don't be a creep.
Yeah, well, unless you're trying to reelect this president, that's allowed.
Even then, don't be a creep.
Or if you're G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Nixon again. From the time you came. Yes, don't be a creep. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us, you know what to do. Tell somebody that needs to hear us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com. We're also on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the fun places. If you're in a giving mood, please show your support over at halfcocktails.com/shop, or you can find us on Patreon. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Now, thanks for stopping by, and go out and be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, we're just leaving half-cocked.